The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another hot stove edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. So we've got kind of another unique episode. We did something exactly like it a handful of episodes ago. I did a Twitter space on Wednesday night. We did full reaction to the Blake Snell signing. We talked about what that could mean for the Red Sox. What to expect for the upcoming pitching free agents as far as front of the rotation starters. So there was a lot of talk there. Primarily with me on that Twitter space was Jim Dalfino, who has been on the show numerous times. Doug James was with us throughout the space as well. If you heard this a handful of episodes ago, I forget exactly which one it was. It was within our last four or five episodes. Similar cast of characters, but we did have some other people participating. It got a little spicy. There was a lot of talking over each other in certain spots. I think that led to us like talking louder, but I think it's going to be entertaining, certainly more entertaining than the last one, and I thought that one was pretty good anyway, so I'm going to hit the play button on this. You won't hear as much as me in the first half. I do give a couple of takes here and there, but I just kind of let it all play out, and then I was a lot more active in the second half, but nonetheless, I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Hopefully everyone had a good Thanksgiving. I don't know if you're going to kick off your Christmas shopping this weekend, but I hope it's a good one for everyone. And here's a lot more baseball hot stove content for you, with a lot of it with Red Sox implications. So I hope you all enjoy it.
Hey, can you hear me, Jim?
I can.
All right. We got Doug in here with us again.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Dougie. Man.
What's up?
Figure we might be able to get into some mischief tonight before the chaos of tomorrow. If you guys are having busy. You guys having like busy family stuff or no?
Yeah. Not till around like 2, though. But yeah, tomorrow's going to be, actually in the morning I go see my family. So it's going to be
okay. Yeah. When I lived in Maine, we had to do the 2 family thing, you know, and just try to coordinate it all. So we just moved away from everybody, and that was our way.
Good way to do it.
Yeah. We're making stuff like in the crock pot. She makes a pretty good beef stew. And,
Yeah, I'm just going to try to not be on my phone tomorrow. It's the best I've, you know, I'm just going to try to like get away from it, social media tomorrow, but I don't know how well I'll do.
Well, there'll be a Heyman bomb at like 11:30 a.m. and we'll all be off to the races.
Yeah, it'll ruin my holiday, just like a few years back when Durant signed with the Warriors, it ruined my 4th of July. So I'm sure they'll probably do something to ruin my day.
And yeah. I'm sure it'll be a misspelled word too.
Durant joined the Warriors on that 4th of July day. We were like on our way out to like, you know, have like a boat day or something like that. I'm not going anymore.
Yeah, the Arson Judge tweet was an all-timer.
Yep.
Yeah, it'll be John Soto or something.
Yeah. So what are you guys' thoughts on Snell? Let's get into that right away. Massive overpay. I'm thinking like 2-3 years is what, you know, would be a decent fit. And he gets 5 at an average annual value of $36.5 million.
Well, I thought he was going to be pegged for about a 3, maybe a 4-year deal, maybe 3 with an option. Probably a little over 100, between 1 and 125. I'm shocked, because what this does is nothing other than raise the bar for Burns and Fried. It's really all it does. So now you're talking that if he can get 5, I think these guys are looking at 7 or 8.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I'm infuriated. I wanted Blake Snell. So my whole thing is, everybody talks. Here's the one thing though with free agency: you gotta overpay. It's what free agency is, especially a team like the Red Sox, who haven't paid anybody for the last 6 years. You haven't won anything at all. You missed the playoffs by the last 6 seasons. You're gonna have to overpay these free agents that want to come. I mean, if maybe Snell wanted to pitch on the West Coast, that's fine. I get that, but what we always hear about the QO, there was no QO attached. In terms of stuff, Blake Snell was the best pitcher in the league in the second half of the season. It's just one of those things that was the guy I wanted. Did I think he was going to get 182? No, but I thought it was going to be pretty close. Like, I pegged him for around 5 or 6. I said about 5 years, 160. So I would have been comfortable paying him once. I mean, yeah, someone said, would I feel comfortable paying Blake Snell 182? This is free agency. Like, you have to get uncomfortable sometimes, you know? You're not going to get these ones and twos for $20 million a year. Like, it's not the case. So, and I was higher on Blake Snell than I was Max Fried. So, will I be upset with Max Fried? No, but I would have been more excited about Blake Snell.
Well, I mean, it goes without saying, because, I mean, he had a pillow contract last year, right? But, I mean, the bottom line is that out of the 3 guys, I mean, if you're going to put it in a bubble of Snell, Fried, and Burns, for me, Snell was last on that list. And the only reason why I say that is because he tends to have 1 good year, 1 bad year, 1 good year, 1 bad year. So the level of consistency did bother me a little bit. But the intriguing part was, I thought you could get him for, you know, less years. And, you know, I was thinking 3, 4. So the 5 is interesting, but again, here we go, $65 million deferred, you know, and it just allows the Dodgers to keep going and going and going.
My thing is, though, every team can do that. You know, they choose to do it. I'm not going to hate on the Dodgers for it. You know, at least they care, and they choose to do it that way. There's nothing stopping the Red Sox from doing it. They just don't do it. So,
oh, no, listen, I agree with you. I mean, it's a genius thing for them to do, to, you know, not get close to that luxury tax and still be able to bring in premium talent. So it'll be interesting to see if any other teams start, you know, performing like that with any of their contracts.
The thing that scares me, everyone was talking about Max Fried. They're like, oh, we got to pay Max Fried now. Like, Max Fried, I mean, the strikeouts aren't what Blake Snell's going to give you. Also, that infield defense, you're going to need an infield defense that's pretty solid with Max Fried. Unless Rafael Devers and Tristan Casas become Gold Glove first and third baseman overnight, well, where's the improvement going to be in the infield? Is Trevor Story going to play 145 games? I doubt it.
No.
So I don't know if Max Fried is exactly the best fit for this team. I'm not going to cry and complain if we get him, because I'll be happy with it. But I think Blake Snell would have been great. Those strikeout numbers, okay, he gives you 130, 140 innings. Well, you know, in those 130, 140 innings, the guy's going to be a stud. So, and then X3, too, with the injury last year, you got to worry about that injury, too. Like, if this guy gets 6-7 years, I guarantee one of those years is going to be a Tommy John year. Guarantee it.
Well, with Snell, I kind of agree with Jim. I mean, he's only pitched 130 or more innings twice. Both of those years happen to be the Cy Young years. He's typically not good in the first half. So I just see a lot of risk there. He got the same exact contract, basically, as Jake DeGrom did. And I wouldn't have been comfortable with that Jake DeGrom deal.
Absolutely not.
And so he got the same one. And the Dodgers, I thought they were reckless when they gave Tyler Glasnow that extension. They bought up, like, the last year of arbitration, added 4 years. So it was 115. That's not nearly as consequential, but I thought they were extremely reckless there. And name a pitch. I know they won the World Series, so this is a weird take, but name a pitcher on their staff that stayed healthy last year, the whole year. Like, they destroy, you know, arms in Los Angeles. So I don't know that it's a good fit, really. And with Freed, I know he was hurt last year, and Andrew Bailey, you know, his program has been kind of rough on some of our guys, but typically he is good for 150 to 170 innings, and I'll pay for that. Are the strikeouts what I want him to be? No, not really. But, you know, he had like a 8.5 strikeout per nine. So that's 1 point above league average, roughly. So I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with Burns, even though he's a righty.
Well, Burns will get you more strikeouts. You know, there's some rumors that his velocity is down, but, you know, he's still gonna, you know, as long as he stays healthy, and that's always an if with any of these guys, but, you know, he's going to get you close to 200 innings, which is something that we need on a front end of that staff. And I really want to get a horse. I want an ace pitcher on this staff so that everybody else can move down the line. I just, you know, don't want to just have them go out and get, I mean, I like Eovaldi, but I don't want a number three or number four starter. I want to get an ace, and it's really down to those two now at this point.
I still think our ace is going to come via trade. I don't think they're going to sign Corbin Burns, maybe Max Fried, but I still think it's more likely the ace that we get and the horse that you guys want is going to come via trade.
So who do you think that's going to be? Do you think it's going to be Crochet or somebody else?
I don't know if it's going to be Crochet. I still think about Arizona, see if Zach Gallen would be available.
Because I gotta be honest with you. As much as Crochet is intriguing, when you really break down and look at his numbers, he's only had one good year. And granted, I know he was hurt and so forth, but you know, and he had a bad July and August too this year. He kind of turned it back around in September and had an ERA. I think it was 3.13 in September. But you know, July and August. I think his July was in the fives or six for ERA. So, I mean, look, I know they limited his innings a little bit, but, you know, he's no guarantee. He's no lock like a Chris Sale was when we traded for him. So, and now we're seeing rumors that Abreu is not something they want. They want Roman Anthony.
Well, then they can shove it. I'm not trading Roman Anthony, but like, I didn't think from the beginning, I didn't think Willie Abreu was going to ever be the head piece of that trade. So that's not a surprise. But if they want Roman Anthony, then no. Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell are off limits. If they wanted Marcelo Mayer, I'd talk about that, though.
I agree with you.
I would probably still be interested in Crochet, but he only has 2 years of control left. That's 1 year less than what we had Chris Sale for at the time of that trade. And if you're going to try to extend him right away, and you probably should, because his value, if you know, if all goes well, it's only going to go up. What does a Garrett Crochet extension look like?
Probably close to the Snell deal.
Oh, that's a risk. And he was only good for half a season, as you sort of, you know, underscored, but I'd go 5 for 100 or something like that.
5 for 125, 5 for 150. It's going to be probably in that range.
150 would be my max. Yeah. That's about as high as I would go.
I was going to say, I think it's going to be more than that.
It probably would have to be, but it's just a matter of, are they willing to do that? And see that, but here's the thing though. If they're going to go out and get either a Burns or Fried, if they're going to go out and actually nab Soto, and if they're going to go and make that trade, and again, this is, you know, a pipe dream hypothetical. The bottom line that I'm trying to get at is they don't have to do anything with extending Crochet right now. They can let him pitch the 25 season. They can evaluate that next offseason if they want to extend him and buy out that last year. Or they could wait till the end of 26 and, you know, either at the end of 26 or even let him go opt out for free agency and still stay in touch with him to try to extend him at that point. The bottom line is to be 27 at that point, still good years ahead of him, but they don't have to make that decision now. They can get him under tow. He'll probably, I guess, arbitration eligible at $8 million, I think it is. So it's still reasonable.
I don't know. I'm not the biggest Crochet guy. I mean, I wouldn't be upset with the deal. I just would, there's other pitchers that I'd rather have, and I don't know, maybe they could get creative and maybe figure out they get like Jared Jones from Pittsburgh. That's a guy I would love. Obviously, that would cost a pretty, you know, that would be cost a pretty package. But Jared Jones is a guy I love. Brian Wu, I really like from Seattle.
Yeah,
it's just that'll be a probably for Casas, and I don't know if I'd trade Casas for Wu, but I still think that front of the line guy is going to come via trade.
How many years does Wu have left?
Quite a few, five. Yeah, but he did go on the injured list last year two or three times with arm related stuff. Yeah. So Jason Kelly on my show was cautioning that last night, but if you look at his metrics, he not a super high strikeout guy, but he walks almost nobody. He's got one of the lowest walk rates in Major League Baseball. George Kirby is another guy that's elite for that, but they're probably less likely to want to deal him. He'd be my dream choice right now. That would be my Chris Sale, you know, 2016 type trade if the Mariners were willing to do it.
I would like Kirby too, but I think he's only got a couple years left as well. So, I mean, if you're going to put Casas in that deal, who has, what, 5 years, 4 or 5 years, that's, you know, you got to make sure maybe you could extend Kirby.
Yeah, I would have at least the framework of that worked out before a deal got done, for sure.
I mean, the Mariners can say whatever they want. I think the Mariners are going to trade one of their starters this year. I don't know which one it'll be, but I think they're going to definitely trade one. I mean, they need offense in the worst possible way. So I do think they'll move a starter. I actually think Luis Castillo is the one that they might move. They get rid of that salary. I think that might be something Seattle would rather do.
Well, if you get him, you can certainly get him at less of a cost on a player on our side.
I just think it would make more sense for Seattle to move a guy like Luis Castillo so that they can get rid of that salary. But I don't know. The Mariners are weird. I feel like they're going to trade one, but I don't know which one they would. I don't think they want to trade Kirby, or I don't think they want to trade. I don't really think they want to even trade Wu. So I think Castillo is the one that would make the most sense for them, just because you get rid of that salary and you can bring offense back. But
and again, if it's the Red Sox in that deal, we could give up less because if we're taking on some of that salary. So it's a win-win.
Honestly, I would take a guy like Castillo. I would want one more move to happen. You know, hopefully one of the free agents we were talking about. But, I mean, acquiring Luis Castillo would be far and away the best pitching move we've made since probably signing Eovaldi after that 2018 season. That's how long it's been since we've done anything significant as far as pitching.
Yep.
How about trading for Castillo and trading for Crochet and have those two guys at the front on the rotation?
I don't want to gut the minors. I don't want to gut the minors for those two pitchers.
Well, we don't know. We also don't know what it would be. I mean, I agree with you, Doug. I wouldn't want to put Roman Anthony in that deal. But if you can find a way to, you know, put somebody else in that deal. I mean, the bottom line here is this. You've got a lot of these guys at AAA that are on the doorstep. And if you don't move anybody at either the major league level or the minor league level, I mean, you're just letting them sit there and rot. You can't do that. They either got to be moved up to the major league roster, and you got to make some moves. They can't just continue down this path and not make any moves. Guys will become Rule 5 guys, and they'll lose them.
I still think that they want to have at least I think Campbell, like I said, on the last space we did, I think Campbell might be up this year. I could see him winning that second base job in spring training.
I do, too.
So I think Campbell could potentially be up. Roman Anthony, I don't know. The only person I think around baseball I would move Roman Anthony for right now is Paul Skeens.
Oh, there's no question there.
I'm not trading Roman Anthony. I think Roman Anthony is going to be a superstar. So I'm not moving him. Marcelo Mayer, I would move him.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Teal, I mean, push come to shove, yeah, I would probably move him too. But, like, for Garrett Crochet, I do think it's going to be a Tristan Casas along with a Willier or a Willier with a Mayer. It's going to be painful.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if I'd really want to do all that for him. I don't know. I mean, again, I wouldn't
complain. It's the track record, Doug. It's the track record. You know, that's the problem.
I wouldn't be upset, but it's just, I don't know. I feel like my opinion is use your financial. Like, again, I think it's going to be the ace comes from a trade. But it's just like, use your financial muscle and sign Corbin Burns then if you're going to do that. Like, I don't know. It's just why gut the minors system when you could just go out and get a guy like Corbin Burns? You don't have to trade your top prospects right now anyways, and you could use that down the road for another piece. I don't know. It's just the way they're running things there is just infuriating. But
Put a percentage on Casas being in the Red Sox organization on opening day, because you had that rumor earlier in the week that Devers might be moving to first.
That would be the dumbest thing this organization could do.
Well, I just think it's a sure sign that Casas is going to be in a deal.
If they move Devers to first base, that's absurd. Like, just if you're going to do anything with Devers, just make him the DH. He doesn't need to play first base. That would be so dumb if they did that.
I don't. My opinion is it's not going to be 100% dumb, because I mean, if Hanley Ramirez can play first base,
no, I'm not saying he can't, but it's just like.
So Doug, right. You know what my concern is, really moving him off third base because of the shoulder. I mean, he's 27, 28 years old now. He's still got many years ahead of you. You got 9 years left on the contract. I don't want him missing time because of that shoulder.
No, I don't either. So that's why I'm saying make him the DH.
Correct. I get that. I totally get that. But in the interim, and again, if it's only for a couple years, it's only for a couple years. You still have Yoshida on this roster, which is a problem. And
I think they're trading him.
Listen, I'll give you a bag of balls for him. The bottom line here is that, you know, if guys like Arenado were available and you could do something like a trade. I mean, I don't know. I saw some stuff on Twitter about Arenado for Yoshida, if they could find a package that works for that. I mean, I'd drive him to the airport.
That's another guy I don't want. I don't want Arenado.
Well, you know, listen, again, he's only got two more years left. So, I mean, it's not a big commitment to him. Or two or three. I think that maybe be three.
It's actually three, yeah.
Yeah, three at big money. So
360. It's 64. Well, I mean, comparison of what Bregman's going to get, it's obviously a better deal, you know, than going after him on the free agent market.
Back to what your question was, Terry. What's my percentage? I think Costas is going to be on this team come opening day. I would put it at 85%.
I see. Here's what I think is going to happen. It just hinges on Soto. If you get Soto, I think Duran becomes the big piece, because you're still going to have Rafael in center. And then you're going to have a Willier and Ref Snyder platoon until Anthony is ready, which I think will be this year. So I think Duran becomes the big piece to kind of save you from dealing your prospects.
Yeah, but Terry, what kind of odds do I have to get to give you for us to make a wager that we're not getting Soto? Because I would bet whatever amount of money I need and whatever odds you needed that there's zero chance on God's green earth that the Red Sox acquire Juan Soto.
I would agree with you.
I don't think there's zero chance.
Exactly.
No, you're right. There's less than zero if that's a possibility.
No, that's just being foolish. I think there's still a chance there. You know, I mean, why would you think it's zero?
Because historically speaking, that is exactly what the odds point to and what conventional wisdom points to. How could you possibly say that they would shell out any money, let alone the money that guy's going to take, who's already turned down a massive contract, so you know he's looking for more, in order to get a guy? They just don't do it. Not this regime, not this GM, not this ownership, not this time around. I don't know how you could possibly make any kind of case that doesn't sound completely illogical any other way.
It's not totally illogical. I don't think it's going to happen, but I have a little glimmer of hope. And a lot of that's because a couple things. Number one, Ortiz is very good friends with him, right? They're very, very close. We know that. If he comes to Boston, he has an opportunity to be the main guy here. If he stays in New York with the Yankees, he's going to be second to Judge the entire time. He goes to the Dodgers, he's definitely not the main piece there either. Look, I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but to say it's illogical, there's still always a possibility. This organization certainly has spent a lot of money over the 20 years they've been here, so it's not that they can't do it.
Yeah, but that's that's a time horizon that is far in the rears. Okay, so that's not a good data point to look at, because you have to look at the recent history, 3 years or even 5 years, and your argument just doesn't hold water. And to tell me about the fact that the guy's going to want to come here because he doesn't want to be in Aaron Judge's shadow or this guy's shadow or that guy's shadow. Let me tell you something. At this level of athlete, they all think they're number one and they're going to be number one. And he would sleep very nicely with an extra $50 million tucked under his pillow
in
that bed of his.
Time will tell.
Yeah, agreed. But I would take any amount of odds. The other thing is the pitching. I don't think they'll spend for a pitcher because, again, historically speaking, they don't. They did once with David Price. I'm sure they feel like they got bit by it, and they had to eat money on the way out the door. And once John Henry eats the contract, he never goes back.
But a starting pitcher is a completely different situation. A guy is going to be playing 30 games versus 150. It's completely different.
I just said the only time that they've done that is with David Price in recent times.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they feel that they were snake bitten because they had to eat money on the way out the door. And John Henry hates doing that. Okay. So they're not going to pay any of these free agent arms. Snell, they were talking Snell. Snell's gone. They're not paying him. They're not paying Burns. They're not paying any of these guys. Maybe they make a trade, maybe, but I don't think they're getting Crochet because I don't think they'll part with any of the prospects that they think they can use for nickels on the dollar.
Well, they're gonna have to at some point because all these guys that are in the minor leagues, you can't keep keeping them there. Okay. And the guys that are on the major league roster, like Abreu, totally replaceable. I mean,
I understand your logic, but I would point to, again, last year, I bet you said the same thing. And the year before, the same thing. Oh,
no.
Come on. I could show you the tweets and everything. Terry, we could pull them up. You guys, everyone was saying the same thing, and everyone that calls in a Tony show says the same thing.
No, because if you read my tweets, I'm probably the one guy on here that's the most – I criticize them more than probably anybody on here. Okay, so the fact of the matter is that I know they haven't spent the money. What I'm saying to you is that you're coming strong and saying there's absolutely no chance he can come to Boston. And I'm saying pump the brakes a little bit. You just don't know that until it happens. I still think there's a small percentage that it could happen. Again, you know, when there's like Doug even says, when there's smoke, there's fire. There's a little bit too much going on this time around with their discussions with Soto to not really be in that discussion. And I think it's a big difference. You want to talk about Yamamoto last year with the full throttle and everything like that? There was no even chance that they got Yamamoto. There was no talk about it.
$300 million, though. They did offer him $300 million.
Yeah, and you heard about that way after the fact that he signed with the Dodgers.
Well, not really.
Oh, absolutely.
Let me tell you this.
Historically speaking, and I don't know how old you are, but like I go back further.
How old are you?
I'm almost 50.
So am I.
Okay, so they rarely, if you remember when we made our big moves during the Theo era and the Lucchino era, they usually came pretty quickly and there were under wraps until they happened. The only one that I can remember that was drawn out and we didn't get them was that first baseman the Yankees got the from Texas. Yes, that's the only one. And guess what? We didn't get them. The other moves, they were all like all of a sudden, boom, they're on the radar. The next day we had the guy.
Well, first
they
of all,
they were not these long, drawn out, protracted. Oh, we tried, we offered.
Here's the thing with Teixeira. You heard a lot. There was a lot going on with Teixeira, right? We definitely knew that. The other
Soto is.
But wife was the reason why Teixeira was a Yankee. He didn't want to live in Massachusetts.
Exactly. He didn't want to be in Massachusetts. Soto, on the other hand, David Price was thrown a boatload of money, and the players union basically forced him to take it. Getting back to Juan Soto, there is a slight difference here because he grew up a Red Sox fan. He's friendly with Ortiz, and these are peripherals, and you can say whatever you want. I just wouldn't rule it out 100% yet. That's all I'm saying.
I'll be kind, I'll give you 2%.
Fine, give me 2%. I say right now it's 10%. Still not good, but I'm saying it's 10%.
I think
now let me ask you this though. Is that 10% overall like a pie where all the other teams make up the total of 100% or 10% us versus everyone as one versus the other, as in 90% we're not going to get.
No, I'm saying with the five teams that have offered him a contract, and I believe it's Boston to two New York teams, the Dodgers and the Blue Jays, I think are the five that have offered him a contract. I say it's 10% out of that. Now that can change. You know, we'll see what happens in the next 24, 48 hours after the holiday, whatever. But right now, I still think there's a glimmer of a chance. It's not strong. I'm going to be honest with you. I agree with you on that point. I just wouldn't rule it out 100%.
I would say,
I feel like this is Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. There's 10% chance Mike's going to win, but guess what? There's no chance Mike's going to win.
Not even close.
So, hang on, guys. So we've built a pretty big audience destroying John Henry, destroying Sam Kennedy, destroying Chaim Bloom. And if this winner doesn't go the way the rhetoric is pointing towards right now, which is in a very positive direction, we're gonna do our jobs and we're gonna continue to do that. But like Jim mapped out, where there's smoke, there's fire. You're not just hearing it from John Heyman, you know, a Boris shill. You're hearing it from everybody. You're hearing it from local guys. You're hearing it from the actual front office. You're hearing it. Agents are talking about the Red Sox are very active right now. So maybe that doesn't mean Soto, but it could mean a Teoscar Hernandez type guy. It could mean a massive trade. We've got more prospects than we know what to do with. So many guys are blocked, essentially. So,
and that's a big problem, you know? That's a big problem. A lot of people say, oh, it's a great problem to have. It's a great problem to have if you're going to move somebody. If you're going to stay pat like they've done for the last couple of years, I mean, at this point, I understand if they were in single A, double A, that's fine. They need the maturation process. But you had arguably the number one prospect on the planet is in your AAA system and the player of the year. When is the last time that the Red Sox or maybe even any team had the player of the year and the number one minor league prospect in all of baseball and they were two separate people?
But so I mean, let me just say this now because we were just talking about there's no chance Juan Soto comes. All right. Well,
oh, I didn't say that. I didn't say it was no chance.
I said that.
Yeah.
I know you didn't say that. I'm just saying what was said previously, that the odds of Juan Soto not coming to, I think it's around 20% personally. So I think when you're Juan Soto, though, the appeal is Boston is I'm going to be the guy. Also,
right.
The farm system is as good as any team in on him running after him right now. So the future of you could say, well, I'll have Juan Soto, I'll have Devers around me, I'll have Roman Anthony around me,
right?
I'll have Christian Campbell around me. I would assume at that point you'd have to assume that Henry will be going over the luxury tax pretty much every year at that point. So I'll be honest with you, if you're a Yankee fan, you're a Red Sox fan, you want to look at your future. The Red Sox future is far better than the Yankees future.
There's no question, and so, that's been brought up on Twitter too. You know, does that play a role in Soto's decision?
Because
yeah, of course.
How many years have we said that, and we're not in the playoffs, and they are? They're in the World Series. We're not. I'm so tired of that argument. Because we have this farm system. We have this farm system. The farm systems means we have a good farm system. It does not translate into wins. And if you're not willing to move on from guys, which we have not been able to do or unwilling to do, it really is irrelevant. It's so infuriating and frustrating for people to say, well, look at our farm system or look at our future or look at this or look at that. It doesn't matter. It's not wins. It doesn't translate to wins. We're terrible.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Where were the Yankees last year without, or the year before without Soto? What were their record?
The year before? The year before what? Last
22,
year?
Yeah,
22.
Playoffs in 23?
23.
So they missed the playoffs, what, no, one so of like four of the last 4 years?
Right, right.
And they had a World Series appearance? We weren't even out of the dungeon. We're in the bottom of the barrel.
The Yankees got Soto, and all of a sudden they became that much better. So if the Red Sox got Soto, you don't think the Red Sox would be a 93-win team?
A 93-win team? No, because we still had no pitching.
Last year.
I mean, I'd have to look back at a lot of different things and what the differences were as far as what games we lost by one run, two runs, where we had an outfield issue where the guy who was playing what position he would have played didn't get a hit, did get a hit. There's a lot of variables that go into it. One player doesn't all of a sudden take you from 76 or 77 wins or whatever to 93. Not a position player.
It did with the Yankees. The Yankees won 82 games and last year in the World Series.
That's a little bit different, and they didn't just have one guy different, okay? They didn't have one guy different, and Garrett Cole was hurt last year, if I remember right, wasn't he?
Yes, and Garrett Cole was healthy in 23. What happened?
No, last year, that's what I'm saying, in 23, wasn't he hurt for a bit?
No.
No.
No, that's right. Did he win the Cy Young, I think?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
In 23.
Yeah, the rest of the rest of the rotation was garbage. I mean, again, it's not one guy. You're looking at apples and hammers a little bit. You got to look at the totality of the. They didn't have Marcus Stroman. They didn't. You know what I mean? There's like a lot of different things.
Marcus Stroman's awful.
Yeah, he's terrible.
If you can say what you want, but it's not the same team. And one guy doesn't make the difference. And I hope we get him. And I hope he comes here. And I hope we have 110 wins in the World Series every year. I'm just saying that it's a little bit of a pipe dream. Right. No, and I think we need to be a little bit more realistic.
You're absolutely right. It is a pipe dream, but
my point is just this: if we got Soto, that means the Yankees don't have him anymore.
Correct.
Sure.
So if we, I'm just making the argument here. You're saying that we're garbage. We have no chance if we even. Okay, understand what you're saying. But if we did get him, you are strengthening your team by about 8 to 9 wins, and the Yankees are weakened by about 8 or 9 wins.
Right.
You're going to add more than Juan Soto to this team. If the Red Sox,
sadly, the wins we need come against teams like Baltimore and others,
well,
you know.
All I'm saying, well, again, if the Red Sox did sign Juan Soto, which again I still probably is probably not happening, but if it does, there's not a chance that they're only going to sign Juan Soto and be done. They're going to add pitching. They're going to add bullpen help because at that point, when you sign a Juan Soto, if they do, you're all in. They have
exactly. You're almost if you sign him, you're almost stuck to having to revamp the rest of the team.
Yeah, zero faith in this ownership to open up their wallets like they used to. Zero, like beyond zero.
Listen, I'm upset like you are. I totally am. But here's the other thing: can this organization, this ownership, can they afford now the backlash they're going to get with so much smoke that they've had on the Juan Soto discussions? I mean, if they don't come home – in other words, if they don't come home with him now, it's going to be even worse. Winter weekend will be a disaster.
Can you – hold on 1 second. Let me ask you this question because I think you'll both agree with me. If you remember, the timing of the full throttle and all that nonsense and stuff last year was very close to around the same time. Also, the season ticket renewal thing and all that, I think I got the email the other day. It all comes out around the same time. And, oh, there's a lot of smoke around Juan Soto and everything else. And guess what? The winter meetings haven't even come and gone. But the season ticket renewals and new sales and everything, they're trying to drive that. So talk to me in, what, 2 months or 3 months, trust them to be a bunch of garbage car salesmen.
So here's a fact: the season ticket renewals are down 7,000. That's a lot of money.
This is what
down 7,000 now, right now. Now maybe they creep back up over the next month while they're pounding you with those emails and people say, well, they're gonna get Juan Soto, they're talking about trading Kurt Crochet, they're talking about maybe George Kirby, on and on and so forth. There are a lot of suckers out there, and they're
guys hang on. So here's a little bit of context, and there's a Twitter account you can go to. It's called Red Sox Payroll, and if you go to their pinned tweet, they have a spreadsheet right there. You can look at what the numbers are. We're at $178 million this year, presently, without doing anything yet. And the luxury tax is $241. Guess what we are in 2026?
About $140, probably.
It's less than that.
We're at $129, okay? So it's time, okay?
Wait, second, though. That's not counting the ARB numbers with Duran coming up either. That's not counting that.
Probably not, but I mean that's not gonna drastically.
I almost look at it as the opposite, where they say, you know what, we don't need to spend over $120 million because we have all these young guys and we can do it with them and on and so forth, and we'll do some tailoring around the edges. We'll get an arm here, an arm there, but it's gonna be, you know, lower dollar amounts, higher impact, the whole almost Heim Bloom model. Because I don't know if you guys remember, I want to say it was like maybe 2 years ago now. They had a conversation amongst the board of governors, the owners, whatever, and they were talking about implementing a hard cap, right? Not just a luxury tax, but a hard cap. You know who's leading the charge on that? John Henry and the ownership of the Yankees, okay? The teams who have the biggest advantages because they don't want to spend the money anymore. They want to pocket it.
It takes a lot of energy to lie year after year, and the numbers are going down, and they're down as low as they've – when have they ever been this low? When have they ever had a season ticket deficit?
Point, though, that's what they're finally seeing, that it's like, okay, this
exactly.
is hurting us.
Again, Husky over here has this defeatist attitude, like it's never going to change because he can only think one way, It's time.
Again,
I'm sorry. I'm just a show me guy. If you show me one thing and you show it to me for years, I believe you. That's who you are. That's what
Hey,
do.
Listen, Husker, show me the other one. Look at my tweets. You'll always see me say, don't tell me, show me. I say it all the time because I want to believe a little bit too, but you know, again, I just think, you know, in my opinion, there's just too much smoke right now and they will be under such backlash if they do absolutely jack shit this year. So, you know, but again,
there's such a difference from last year and this year, though. Last year, okay, we heard the full throttle comments. The agents at the winter meetings were laughing and saying there's zero.
Correct.
They're not doing that. They're laughing. This year, every agent, every beat writer, whether it's local, whether it's passing, are saying, no, they're serious. They're serious. They're making it known that they are going to spend. So last year they didn't do that.
I just feel like that's an agent's rhetoric.
But it's not the agent
talking about a big market team being in the bidding to drive up the bidding so another team pays more. Because the Red Sox have been used that way for a handful of years now.
Nobody's using the Red Sox there. John Hay, the leverage is Juan Soto. It's not the Red Sox.
When John Henry says it, I will believe it. Until John Henry says it, because everyone else has said things around him and they've meant nothing.
When
has John Henry
had a comment about the Red Sox? When's the last time?
Only one person.
That's kind of my point.
But only one. John Henry talk, but he doesn't speak. That's what Sam Kennedy is there for. So
yeah,
you're never going to hear John Henry.
It's a lie. So how do you believe him?
Only one person last year referenced anything to do with full throttle. Only one person, and that was Tom Warner. And now everybody in the front office right now is saying, no, we're going for it. This is the year. So I don't appreciate being lied to. I don't appreciate the last 5 or 6 years, but I'm not questioning the sincerity. Okay.
I'm not this year.
I mean, the other thing to add to that too, is Alex Cora coming back.
True.
You know, they didn't want to have to go through another entire off season of interviewing managers and seeing who's going to play this out right and so on and so forth. You heard earlier in the year, Cora was going to be a free agent. And, you know, I really thought that if, you know, Dodgers didn't win the World Series, he was going there. But there's talk about the Yankees and this and that and so forth. And then Eduardo Perez on Sunday Night Baseball, I think it was, says, the first thing I would do is I would re-sign Alex Cora. And then within a week, he went from not going to be signed and he's going to now all of a sudden he's signed out of nowhere. And I think that plays a big part of it. I'm not an Alex Cora fan, but
I think you read the room wrong. I think Alex Cora tested the waters or had his agent testing the waters, and the waters came back colder than he thought. And they said, Alex, it's a good deal for you. Take it. Because look at his rhetoric and his tone. It changed immediately when he got re-signed. He was
when you get the money in the contract, you are going to change your tone. There's no question. But I think there was a conversation that said, listen, if you want, you know, we want you to come back. We want to make this easy. You know the team. You know the players. We're going to go out this offseason, and we're going to spend, and we're going to make this a contender. Alex Cora is not a guy to rebuild the team. He's a guy to come in and win you a championship like he did in 18. And I think that's what the conversation was, and they convinced him to stay.
Alex Cora has had two successful seasons, one that was a little bit of luck, and the rest of the time he's a bottom dweller. I have
I am not an Alex Cora fan. You can ask pretty much anybody that knows me. I am not an Alex Cora fan. But at the same time, those years that they sucked, the fucking team sucked too. So, I mean, the players sucked. He had a bad core.
What do you want Cora to do? You want to win 95 games with your
you can't,
Cutter Crawford?
You can't.
What do you want to do?
I want him to not nosedive at the end of every year. How about this? If you don't have the talent.
Husky, if you don't have the talent, they can't win. You can't keep putting out guys like Pablo Reyes and Super Mario all the time. It just doesn't work.
I understand what you're saying. In game, he's horrible. He makes horrible decisions in game that cost them games. I have a problem with that. Number one,
is that because of the talent he has?
No, I mean he's got so many head scratchers in the bullpen. I lost count after like the first year.
It's terrible. What do you want him to do?
Oh come on! I mean honestly, I could give you a thousand
Wheel of Gutless Bumps. I mean,
But the wheel of gutless bums. I mean, what do you expect him to do? He can't. He can't make.
I get.
Who would you rather have? Who do you want?
I'll take Joe Girardi. I'll take John Madden.
No, you gotta be kidding.
He's not coming here.
Joe Madden. I'll take Joe Madden.
Joe Girardi. Oh, good lord.
I'm sorry. Two other guys who have won the World Series and had their team in the playoffs most years.
Who the
hell's
Cora?
Both of those guys has not had the team in the playoffs most years he's coached. I'm sorry.
Really? 2021. You don't think Alex Cora got the most out of that team in 2021?
That's not what I said. And that's not what the argument was. I said they've had their teams in the playoffs most years they coached. Those guys did. Alex Cora does not. Okay.
How did Joe Madden do with the Cubs?
Guys,
he won a World Series.
Joe Girardi and Joe Madden, they're smart baseball guys, and they always will be, but they couldn't manage personalities.
No,
that's why
Girardi was gone.
Exactly. Yeah. They couldn't evolve with the players. I'm not an Alex Cora guy either. I'm not.
What have the Yankees done since Joe Girardi left? Because you just told me how bad they are, okay? And he's the last guy to win there.
Well, they went to the World Series once. They've been to the LCS two or three other times.
And they couldn't win it. And Joe Girardi did.
More power to the Astros because they were the ones who kept stopping them. But here's the thing. I'm not an Alex Cora guy, but the idea of Craig Breslow, who I don't think is very smart, hand-picking a nerd.
No, that's the problem.
This team.
When we lost Dombrowski, we lost the whole room.
Well, and
I'm a big Dombrowski guy myself, so I'm with you there.
Well, I don't think Dombrowski was ever going to rebuild the team, though. I love Dave Dombrowski, but I've rooted for Philly every October.
I don't know. Looking at right now on the base pass and around the diamond, that's all Dombrowski for the most part.
When you talk about
rebuilding, yeah. I have to disagree with you respectfully.
The question also is on what other people are going to say is that half these guys probably would not be here if Dombrowski was still here.
Exactly. He would have dealt them. 1,000% would have dealt them. And there were rumors he was trying to deal Devers in 2017, but Henry wouldn't let him go above the luxury tax that year because they wanted to reset it that winter. And he was kind of handcuffed. It was the only year Dombrowski was truly handcuffed in Boston. But here's one other thing. We just spent 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it was, arguing about what John Henry may or may not be willing to do. The big problem here is you have an incompetent front office. You have a really green executive in Breslow that doesn't seem to have a feel for the job. And then you got all those holdovers from 20 years ago, literally. They've all been here since the first couple World
Series. They're all there. Eddie Romero. They're all there. I mean, they can't clean house. They never will.
If they were smart baseball guys, we wouldn't have had this awful run that we've had. So that's our big problem is can the current group in the front office, led by Sam Kennedy, can they execute? That's what concerns me.
I think
there's right. I've said this for years. They have no direction. If you've listened to me or anytime I've talked, it's always that, you know, they don't have a direction. You know, let's spend money. Let's not. Let's get B quality players like in 2013. That's the new thing. Keep doing that. No, that stopped working. Let's spend money again. All right, let's not spend money anymore. Let's bring in reclamation projects or find diamond in the roughs. They have no direction. So the only thing that works is spending money on premium talent. And by and large, you look at this postseason that just finished, the proof is in the pudding. Spend the money and you get farther in the postseason.
Can I have a rebuttal on this? Is the proof in the pudding by the way the Guardians were in the the ALCS?
It's the Central.
But that's one of four teams, right? If 75% of the teams there are built one way,
Doug, who won the World Series?
How many teams from that Central that you're saying is a terrible division?
Throw that out. Who was in the World Series? What two teams?
Well, I know the Yankees. I know Jim. You don't have to insult my intelligence.
I'm not insulting you. I'm just proving a point.
The Red Sox should be spending money. Yes. I understand. I want them to be the Rays. I don't want them to be the Guardians.
No, I know.
Say that there's only one way to make the playoffs and win titles. I mean, that's kind of not.
No, there really is, because if you look at it, again, historically speaking, the last two and the last four teams they're pretty much the same teams every year, or at least 50 to 75% of them are. You are going to get the outlier, the Guardians, 1 year. You are going to get the Royals 1 year. I mean, but Tigers, when you look at it, you're getting the Dodgers every year. You're getting the Padres were there for the last few years when they started spending. You're getting the Yankees there every year. You're getting the Braves there.
Doug, let me,
the Braves aren't
Doug,
up
me,
the ass either.
Doug, let me rephrase it, Doug. I'll say it's a less of a path of least resistance when you want to spend the money and be a premium team to get into the playoffs.
Okay, can I make this point? Everybody wanted Jim, or everybody wanted Montgomery last year. How'd that go? You wanted him after that?
Oh, I didn't want. I never wanted Montgomery.
Every Red Sox fan,
I wanted him, but you can't. That's a crazy thing. Like every path does not lead to the same outcome based on everything being equal.
Yeah, he's one guy I didn't want.
You can't say, "Well, he's here." But either way, you can't say, well, he was there, so he got hurt, or he pitched in these parks, and he was worse. It's completely different. Like, come on. That's a ridiculous argument.
Let me ask you a question. If the Red Sox, let's see it at the time last year, right, when everybody wanted Jordan Montgomery. If the Red Sox, let's, like, hypothetically, if they signed Seth Lugo instead of Jordan Montgomery, would you guys have been upset?
No. I want him to get a legit arm. I didn't care what the name was.
I don't
was.
Think anybody thought Seth Lugo was going to be a legitimate arm, though. I think you guys would have said, oh, look at their pinching pennies.
If the Red Sox had gotten Seth Lugo, it would have just been a nice complimentary piece, but not a needle mover.
Right.
I liked Lugo.
Kind of like Lucas Giolito, who was hurt.
Yep. Hey.
Honestly, if Giolito didn't get hurt, if you told me last year that we're going to get Giolito and Lugo and both of them are going to be healthy, I probably would have been happy with that, honestly.
I'm still fine with Giolito. I think Giolito.
Gary, I think to that point, right? This year they need to get two arms because you should be moving guys back to the pen who obviously got hurt and didn't need to be in the rotation from the beginning, right? So if they went out and they either signed a guy, which is the best thing because you don't have to give up any assets, whether it's Burns or whoever, and then I'm sorry, but I'm still a Trevor Bauer guy. I'm always going to be a Trevor Bauer guy. He's That's out there happening. For no money. Okay.
No interest in him.
And he's got legit talent. There's no upside. I mean, there's no downside. If it doesn't work out, you cut him.
There's plenty of downside. You're going to alienate.
I would do it.
What downside?
The fan base, okay? And your attendance is already
no perfect. Way, no way. You don't even want to go there with innocent or not. You don't even want to go
it's
there.
Not or not innocent. Okay, the guy's completely innocent. It's been proven he's innocent, and the government went after his accuser. So it's a crazy thing to put something on someone who's innocent and was accused of that. That's terrible.
Alienating most of your fan base if you make that straight. Over what? The reason why he's not signed yet.
Yeah, because you know what? It's a bad world we live in sometimes when a guy who gets falsely accused has to go through this and has his livelihood taken away. I'm sorry. I'm just not cool with that.
That's fine, but we're not signing him. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think that's...
Somebody will. They'll be desperate. They will. And everyone will look back and say, geez, why didn't we do that for $1 million?
Older. Nobody signed him last year. I don't think he's coming
He's
back.
Not going. He will never be back in baseball.
I mean... Well, like I said, for Juan Soto, you can't never say never. You got to give him at least 2% chance it might happen.
Well, I'm just saying, if he was going to be wide, we needed pitching desperately last year, we didn't sign him. So now that we have, you know, the free agency is a little bit, you know, better now. I don't think we're going to be signing Trevor Bauer. That last year,
you might be right. You probably are right. I'm just saying it's a logical explanation for our problem.
I'll put a 40% chance on Soto. I think that's significant. The reason why, and you guys have kind of covered it, and I've mostly been letting you guys just go at it, but the Dodgers, they had to defer money for Teoscar on his 1 year deal. They just signed Snell. They're not going after him. The Blue Jays, nobody's going to Toronto. No one's going to pay those taxes. He just went to the Yankees, went to the World Series. It wasn't a particularly close World Series. His $340 million pitcher didn't cover first base. And if winning is important, their long-term window isn't good. Their short-term window is okay, but that Cole contract is going to spiral. So will the Judge contract. You still got Stanton for a few years. You still got Rodon at big money. I don't think it's Volpe is going to be –
It's the Mets.
Volpe isn't the guy. And so that's what I'm getting down to here. Yeah, it's going to be the Mets or the Red Sox. And, if I had to bet on it, I would say the Mets are probably going to sign him. But I think the Red Sox are in play. Here's one other thing that nobody's talking about right now.
Terry, who wants to go to the Mets?
People who like money. People who like money, because Cohen will pay. And if you watch out, if they do not sign Alonso, 100% they're going to sign Soto, 100%.
Well, I think
don't think anybody wakes up in the morning and says, I want to be a Met, just like nobody wants to be a Jet.
Well, I mean, I think honestly,
money talks, man. Money talks.
If it comes down to, I think if everything, I'll be honest with you, I think if all was equal, if everything was equal in terms of money, I think Soto would choose Boston.
Correct.
But I just think the thing with Cohen, Cohen has
it. He's also, Doug, he's also going to look at that and see it as his Lindor's team too. If he wants to be the guy, he has a better shot with us.
We don't really know what he wants. Maybe that's
We don't
know.
It's true. That's true. I'm only making a hypothetical. Right. That's what I'm saying. If that's what he wants.
Right. We don't know that, though. Maybe he doesn't care. You know, I don't know. Maybe he's fine with it. I don't know. But, like, if all things were equal, this would be Soto's team.
I think I'd choose Boston.
I don't disagree with your premise, Doug, but what I'm saying is a lot of times, and too often, especially in my, you know, first however many decades of being a Sox fan, I only look at it through our lens, right? Why wouldn't he want to be a Red Sox? Everyone wants to be a Red Sox. Red Sox is the best place, got the best fan base, got the most passion. Some guys don't. They just don't, right? And we don't know, right? Like what you're saying, we don't know. Now, all things equal, maybe, yeah. Maybe he's buddy with Ortiz. Maybe he's got a lot of friends in New York. Who the heck knows? We don't know. But you know what we do know? Guys generally take the bag. Basketball happens. Baseball happens. It happens pretty much everywhere. If someone's willing to give you an extra 10, 20, 50 million bucks, see ya. I'm out.
Here's a scenario, okay? Let's say the Red Sox and the Mets both offer him 600, okay? He's going to have opt-outs. Boris is going to put at least two or three opt-outs in that deal, probably after years 4, 5, and 6. Maybe he doesn't have any intentions of opting out, but Boris is going to put him in there just in case. So here's what it comes down to. Which team, the Red Sox or the Mets, are going to front-load those first 4 or 5 years the most? That's going to be a big factor here.
Yeah, with the opt-outs, that's true.
Oh, my God. I 600 million. I almost threw up my mouth thinking that the Red Sox would even approach that. There's zero. There's a better chance of me marrying Giselle than him getting 600 million from the Red Sox.
Let me make this point though, really quick. Okay, you can say that all you want. Oh, you can't. It's hard for you to believe, which I understand what you're saying. But I'm gonna be. Let's just call it a spade a spade. There's not a chance that Boris and Soto would still be even entertaining the Red Sox if the money wasn't what he'd want.
No one ever said that they're entertaining them. I mean, again, it's a ploy. It's a negotiating tactic.
They're gambling on the opt out. I think that's the Red Sox play here. But they're hoping he will opt out after 4 or 5 years.
Why are the Red Sox, who's a team you just said doesn't spend? Why would that be a negotiating ploy? They're not. Why would they be using the Red Sox?
Because they have deep pockets, and historically, they're known as a team that would go after guys. Now, the smart guys in the room who are baseball executives for other teams are going to say, "Nah, they're bluffing. They're not really going to get shit from the Red Sox," and they're probably right. But again, just like anything in life. If you've ever gone in through any contract negotiations, you only need two parties, number one. And the more parties in, it drives up the price, right?
The Mets involved and the Yankees involved, that should be enough, right?
Not necessarily, because think about it. The Red Sox are a direct enemy of the Yankees. So who would and the Mets for that reason. So it makes them want to bid even more.
Right. So that's my point. So I don't think they're using the Red Sox for leverage at all.
I disagree for the point I just made. If you have two people you hate in your life the most, you want to see one of them lose as much as possible. You want to see both of them lose double that.
But these owners and management, they don't hate the other teams. It's the fans that hate other fans because
is the Red Sox Yankee rivalry even that big a deal right now anymore?
No.
I mean, besides maybe fans hating the other team's fan base, but
that's what I just said. Yeah, that's what I just said. That's all it is.
Yeah,
it's not the teams anymore. The days of Larry Lucchino are gone. I mean, it was great, but you know, the evil empire, all that stuff is gone. They don't have that kind of rivalry anymore.
20 years ago, now it's not the same anymore.
No, not at all.
I understand, but you got to remember, we don't live where the New York media is, and they will cover it relentlessly if they lost to either the Red Sox or the Yankees, being the Mets, and can, you know, vice versa, the Yankees losing to the Mets or the Red Sox. It is what it is. It does get splashed around. It is a topic of conversation. I'm sure they get ball breaking from their billionaire friends just like anyone else.
Well, you guys also kind of dismiss Toronto. Do you guys realize how much money the Rogers family has? So if it's really about money, the Blue Jays, I wouldn't rule them completely out if it's really about the money like you think it is with Soto.
Well, look at it. You might be right. I mean, it would be foolish to dismiss them all. But why haven't they signed Vladimir? I don't think Vladimir.
Yeah, they're in a weird spot.
Oh, I don't think that's where he should or wants to go. But like I'm saying, if it's about the money, the Rogers family has plenty of it. That's all I'm trying.
Yeah, they have money, but like, look at what they're doing. They're kind of spiraling. Well, like you're talking about. Maybe because they figure he's a centerpiece and they're going to get stuff around that. But that's usually more of a linchpin move when you spend the money like that than, hey, we have nothing going on now. We need to get something there. And then we're going to spend a bunch of other money on top of the $600 million. That's a lot.
No, I'm just saying, I don't, when it comes to like all I was trying to say was, if it's purely about money, then we can't disregard the Blue Jays.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, to that point, Steve Cohen's got a couple bucks in his pocket. He's probably the richest of all those owners you just mentioned.
And then Rogers might be second then.
Yeah, but that's my point. Like, if just like when he wanted Lindor, you know, whatever that guy wants, he goes and gets.
Well, that's not true, because he wanted Yamamoto last year and he didn't get him.
Well, I mean, sometimes guys are going to go where they want to go. So all things equal, if it's a difference of $20 million and you really have no intention of playing on the entire other side of the country, I get that. Little bit different circumstance with, I believe, with the Japanese players. And we weren't even willing to go to, what, $60 million or whatever it was for Otani. They backed out how early on that one? They're like, we're not even going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. And that guy's a way bigger impact than Juan Soto.
You know what would help is if we sign Max Fried tomorrow. I think your chances of getting Soto go up at least 10%.
Well, that's my whole thing with Blake Snell last night. You imagine if they just drop their nuts on the table and they sign Blake Snell, say, hey, listen, Juan, we just signed Blake. You know, that'd been a big deal. But
yeah, proof in the pudding. You know, if you show the players that you want that you're committed, you know, to spending the money and bringing in talent, you're going to get other guys to come too.
Yeah, I mean, if we find out tomorrow that Fried signs with, I don't know who it would even be, let's say the Cubs, my anxiety is officially going to go up,
The thing with Fried is, I thought Fried was going to go to the Dodgers. So when they signed Snell, it's like,
I think the Dodgers kind of had Snell envy there, watching him pitch, you know, against them, really, with the Padres and the Giants. So I don't think
Snell was going anywhere but a West Coast team. Probably he was not coming to. No, he was not coming to the East Coast.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and one other thing, we haven't even mentioned him yet. I was listening to Jim Bowden on CBS Sports earlier, and he was saying, don't assume that the Dodgers are going to get Sasaki, because the only way Sasaki is going to get paid is through endorsements for the first 3, 4, 5 years of that deal. And if he's on the Dodgers, all the endorsements are going to Otani. So I don't know if the Red Sox can get him, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that the Dodgers will get him.
I don't think he's going to the Dodgers. I've said all along, I think he's going to the Padres. That's been my prediction for the past 3 weeks. I still think that's where he's going to go. Obviously, his idol is Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish is there. My friend the other got into a debate the other day. He goes, well, Yu's not what he was anymore. The Japanese players do not care about that. That's his idol. So he respects Yu. That's like, if I had to put like money on it, my guess would be the Padres for him. I would love to get him, but I think that's going to be a tough, I don't know. I think he's going to go to the Padres. That's just my opinion.
That's a good guess. I mean, and that's still a pretty sexy team to go to. I mean, you still got Machado relatively in his prime. Tatis is getting there. You know, there's a lot of selling points there with the Padres.
Michael King, that's a good 1-2 right there.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing I was thinking this morning, think of how this winter would have a much different look if the Padres could have just gotten it done. They had two games to try to finish off the Dodgers. One of them was Dylan Cease versus the Dodgers bullpen, and they couldn't get it done. But you're having a much different conversation because now that Ohtani deal isn't really completely validated yet. And maybe Soto's value is a little lower. Maybe you're talking more like $450 to $500 million instead of the 600 projections that we've been seeing. So it sucks that the Padres couldn't get it done.
Well, if you believe what Boris was saying before, Seidler passed away, they thought it was pretty much he was going to stay there. So I'm curious to see what he was offered, because apparently that was before he passed away. It was pretty much it was pretty close that he was just going to resign with San Diego. So.
Yeah, and they were saying today, I think it was the same interview with Bowden, that he loved that area. You know, it seemed to fit his lifestyle, so it makes sense. But yeah, I don't know. But here's the other thing. We don't need Soto. Like, pitching is our problem. You need one or two bats. They don't have to be generational bats by any means. So, you know, you look at the division, who's the true front runner right now to win the division? Like, what's a team you can sit here and say is going to win 93 to 95 wins?
I don't. East?
Yeah. And maybe the Orioles, but they got work to do to get there.
Well, I mean, if his teams are currently constructed, Burns isn't on Baltimore and Soto's not on the Yankees. So
Exactly. Yeah, it's open. It's wide open right now.
Two starters and the Sox are right there. Two legit starters.
Exactly.
That's the sad part, right? Because we've known that even last year, if they got some legit pitching at the deadline, if they went and got Eovaldi, we would have sniffed the playoffs, I bet. You know, I'd be happy if they brought in Eovaldi and pitcher X.
Yeah, we can't, even if we do get Soto, we can't go into the season with Connor Wong being our best right-handed bat.
Nope.
So you got to get a righty. And I know you guys will roll your eyes at this, but Vaughn Grissom's going to have a chance until Campbell comes up.
Oh,
so
Jesus.
Hopefully you catch lightning in a bottle.
I don't even know why that should be an issue.
That guy's a cancer.
They should just bring Campbell up right away. There's no reason not to.
He probably has the best chance of anyone to do it, I would say.
Why do we have to keep giving this guy a chance? It's like even in September of this year, why is he brought back up instead of actually bringing up Campbell and see what you got?
Well, I think in spring training, yeah. I think you're going to see Christian Campbell potentially win that job.
I hope so, Doug. I hope so.
I feel like Vaughn Grissom is a clubhouse killer too. He everything about him feels gross.
And he's got an attitude.
His game,
he's got an attitude.
Everything.
Yeah, he's got an attitude. Yep.
All set with that around enough young players as it is. You don't need that kind of malcontent.
Nope. Absolutely.
I made it known on the last time we did the space that my guy is Willy Adames, and I got some pushback, but
I can't. I hate him.
If we don't get Soto, I'll tell you that's who I want.
Not enough contact.
I love Willy Adames, and he's a
you got. You guys will hate this. I wouldn't hate Nolan Arenado for 3 years. That's what it is.
I would hate it.
Well,
I'd like that better than Adames.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel like Arenado's at least a gamer. I mean, he killed us.
Look at his hard hit rates last year; they were abysmal.
Oh, they went. There's no question they went down. But
no,
you're going to spend
that
kind of money.
They were in like the 9th percentile.
Well, you know what? Yeah. You're going to spend that kind of money with Adames. You can rather get. I would rather get Arenado. Cost me less.
What does Arenado have to be excited about in 2024 in St. Louis? Everybody was saying in 2020 and 2021 that the other first baseman there, Goldschmidt, was on the downside, and then he wins the MVP.
Got Chaim Bloom to look forward to. That's not. I mean, that doesn't get you wet.
The only thing that has to happen for me with Arenado is the Cardinals have to eat all the deferred money that get paid out several years down the line, which is like $30 million overall. So that has to be covered. But the Rockies are paying $5 million of this year's, and then $5 million of the next year's. The third year is only a $15 million deal. And like I said on the podcast last night, I don't need him to be you know, MVP Nolan Arenado, I need him to be 2007, 2008 Mike Lowell. Okay.
He's like what, a sixth or seventh bat in the lineup. He's hitting sixth or seventh in this lineup. So, you know, he could probably just move the line along.
Exactly. So, exactly. He's a smart hitter. New scenery, new energy. Three years.
Absolutely.
I would take that chance.
I would do that too.
So if you did this right, I assume that you're moving Devers to DH, correct?
Or first, whatever. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, Aaron is my third baseman.
Otto also said he would play first too.
He did.
That doesn't really help us though. We need infield defense. He's better. You know, you don't want him at third base. You don't want him at first.
Well, you need a right-handed bat, though. Somebody's got to hit.
I mean, if Yoshida's in that deal, and you've got bad, you know, big money for big money, if you could somehow make that work, then fine. Then Devers is your DH.
I don't know why the Cardinals would do that, though. It's like you're on a take on three years.
I mean, if Heim Bloom still loves Yoshida, yes, you might.
You'd have to just find some prospect that Heim Bloom's all wet over in A ball or something, and throw him in there, and he'll do it.
Yeah, but I mean, don't you think Bloom kind of like probably knows? I mean, he's not a dumb guy. I mean, I'll say he's you know, I feel like he's somewhat intelligent to realize, you know what, maybe he's not what I thought he was, so why would I want him here? You know what I mean?
No, but the thing is, he probably thinks he's smarter than you about knowing your own farm system, and he's going to get one over on you that maybe we don't even care about, some A-ball player that he thinks is the next guy, and we don't even have him on our tracker as far as, like, impact guys. And he's, yep, okay, here you go, Heim, him and some other scrub. You know, some prospect, some high A ball guy or whatever. And you throw in the sausage legs there, get him out the door and bring back Arenado.
It's not going to take much to get that, you know, money off of St. Louis's books. And the Cardinals are really in the same exact spot right now that the Red Sox were in 2019 when Bloom got here. The farm, they've got like a bottom six or seven farm, just no real bright spots on the big league roster. And it won't take much to get him if you want him.
No, I don't think it'll cost them much either, but if it depends. If the Cardinals were willing to eat up a lot of the money, then yeah, my interest would go up, but I don't want to pay that. I just, for a guy that's, his bat's severely declining, and it's just, well, I love his defense, but.
Next year we'd only be paying him 22, and then it goes down to 15 the third year.
I'd rather take my chances on Arenado than spend big money on Adames and have that guy striking out all the time. No way.
Exactly. You can't have Adames and Story in the lineup striking
Adames
out almost
would also
200
give
times.
You 30 to 35 home runs at Fenway.
I hate those all or nothing guys. Give me a guy that'll hit 30 doubles and 280 on the year over a 3,100 guy.
I'm just saying, like, I looked at his you know, just the advanced metrics, but I know probably everybody hates that. But if you look at hard hit barrel right, he was around 9th percentile. It was bad. Like, it wasn't good. So maybe he does have a Mike Lowell resurgence if he did get to Boston. I don't know. It's just, I do love his defense. I want an impact of the middle of the order right-handed bat, and that's not an Arenado right now.
Well, I mean,
just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not married to Arenado, but it's just something I wouldn't mind. And you don't really have a clubhouse leader, according to the writers. It's Rob Refsnyder. So
I think it's actually Trevor Story. As much as I hate Trevor Story, but.
Well, it could be. Yeah, he was pretty vocal.
As much as I hate,
I
don't like Trevor Story. I, you know, but
yeah, that sucks.
I think,
and hey,
he is the clubhouse guy.
You'll probably hate this even more. Who do you think would lead the charge to get Arenado here?
Probably him, and that's what we need. We need washed-up Colorado Rockies on our infield.
Well, the good news for you is Blackman retired, so you don't have to worry about
him.
No,
they'll try to get out with Todd Helton out of a beer league or something like that. Have him come on too.
Or they'll try to get LeMahieu.
Do you guys realize Helton had a career on base of over 400?
No, I love Todd.
That's
insane. I'm joking. I love Todd Helton.
Yeah. But that's just insane. You can say all you want about Colorado, but it's got nothing to do with walks.
No, nothing.
You know?
Todd Helton was great. I was joking. I just, yeah. But
no, it's all
I just
good.
Don't want Trevor Story and Nolan Arenado on the left side of my infield in 2025. I'm good.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Maybe. Well, maybe he'll be at first though.
But then that's the thing. Like, if you do the first base thing, it's like defeating the purpose of getting him in the first place because you need your infield defense to improve. First base. I don't love Costa as a first base, but I mean, leave Costa at first base and put Nolan Arenado at third. Then you're really improving your infield defense. You know what I mean? Like,
I think Costas is gone. I don't.
I'd be shocked if they trade him.
I'd put it at 20% that he's here next year.
I've been around 85.
I don't think he's getting moved. I don't think Alex Cora likes him. I just think they want.
I don't like him either.
I think they're tired of the antics. I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, if they moved him, I wouldn't cry over it. I would just be surprised if they did.
The dry swings, oh, man, that was...
I mean, he bothers me.
That was so bad.
Yeah, he only batted 205 with the dry swings.
But my thing is, though, too, I think if you put Rafi Devers at first, I think you're wasting what his best attributes are, which is his arm. You don't really need the arm at first base. The problem we kill him about is making the easy routine plays at third, right? He doesn't do that well. First base, I don't know. I just
my reason for getting him off third is the shoulder.
That's fine, and I'd rather, if we're gonna do that, DH him. I'm completely fine with the DH spot, but I don't want to move him to first base. I just don't.
I don't.
I would if it's 3 years for Arenado, because after those 3 years, you can move him to DH at that point.
I mean, if they got a first baseman, if they traded for Arenado, right, and then say we traded Casas, why don't we just sign Christian Walker then? That's an impact right-handed bat right in the middle of your lineup.
You could do that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you could. That's another pivot that you could do if you trade Costas. We haven't talked about him yet on this episode, but I mean, I think Toronto would take a guy like Costas for Vladimir, and you'd have to work out the extension ahead of time, But I wouldn't rule that out. I think if Vladimir was going to stay in Toronto, that deal would be done. And another guy you could put in that deal that would be valuable to a guy like to a team like Toronto is a Cutter Crawford type guy to put in the back end of their rotation, because they're going to be losing some guys here. You know, Gausman in a year or two. I think Bassett's on his final year, so you know. Crawford isn't super valuable, but I think he'd be a nice third piece in a deal for Vladimir.
I think if the Red Sox ever did sign Juan Soto, I actually think that would be a potential possibility that they would try. I think they would at least call Toronto and be like, you know, what will it take? So I do think if they did sign Soto, I think that's you're not wrong about that.
Well, I don't know if they'd want to pay two guys that. I mean, you're already paying.
Well, you're all in.
Well, you're paying Devers over three, and right. I think they want to extend, you know, Anthony to probably a Wander Franco type deal, I would think, which would be close to 200. So I just think they're going to prioritize some of their homegrown guys.
So what if they did something along these lines? Let me hear me out for one. I mean, this is really fantasy, right? They signed Soto. You trade for Guerrero. Like I said, this is so fantasy, you're never probably going to happen. But then you could then use your young prospects at that point and trade it for young controllable pitching. So that way, in the next 3 to 5 years, you're paying Soto, you're paying Devers and Guerrero, but you're not paying your pitchers anything because they're all controlled.
Well, that's the argument for going after a Crochet. You know, this is why here
you're I'm not even talking Crochet because he's not going
to. Well, I'm just talking about an example.
Right. I don't know. I don't think Vlad Guerrero is going to happen. I would love Guerrero, but he would absolutely rake if Fenway.
I mean, he's honestly, like we said last time, I think he's a better fit for our current roster than Soto is. Soto's going to age out a lot better, and he's going to give you a bigger window. But for the next 5 to 6 years, I think Vladimir's your best fit. That the dream is to get back to Manny and Poppy, but here we are almost 20 years later, and we've never recreated that. That's as close as you would ever get, I think.
Yeah, it would be. It would be.
Our pal Husky left, didn't he? I thought I got kind of quiet in here.
I don't know. I don't think the Sox would trade 4 years of control for Casas for one of Guerrero. I don't think they do that.
Hey, my friend Robbie's in here. His name's Beard Gang. Robbie, I just enabled your mic. Come on, give a take. Let's go.
Doug, you know, the thing about the Vladimir, that you would have to do that trade with a window to be able to sign Vladimir to an extension. They don't do that anymore.
It's not like
it's,
they don't
really... No, I know it's not. It's yeah, they don't do a lot of that anymore, but it still could happen.
Hey, Robbie, what are the chances we're getting Soto? I don't know if he knows how to do it. Accept it. There we go.
I'm here now.
Robbie's a redneck motherfucker, by the way. So what are the chances? Come on, give a take.
Slim.
Slim? All right.
Slim.
Who's your guy? Who's your guy this offseason? Who's your number one target?
Freed.
Okay. Yeah, that's my guy. Not
Freed. And then maybe bullpen-wise, probably like David Robertson.
That would be a good one. We haven't even talked bullpen. I think Tanner Scott would be the dream guy, but I don't.
I want Jeff Hoffman. That's my guy. I want him bad.
Who's he pitch
for? Yeah.
He was the Phillies.
Oh, Phillies? Well, yeah. I don't know. Dombrowski needs bullpen guys desperately every year.
The thing with Jeff Hoffman, though, too, is I know he wants to – the only thing it's my reservation with him, he wants to be a starter. So I wouldn't want to pay him to be a starter. I want him in my bullpen. But Jeff Hoffman's filthy. Like, that would be my – like, I would love to get Tanner Scott, but I think Jeff Hoffman's would be a little bit cheaper. I think he would be great for us.
Yeah, going back to Robertson, I mean, that's a sneaky good signing. I mean, he had great numbers. He's going to be 40 years old, which is insane. But I mean, out of all the old guys still out there, I would take a chance on him for 1 year.
I'd take a chance on Kirby Yates, too.
Yeah, I would as well. He had, what, a 1.27 ERA last year?
He was ridiculous last year for Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would absolutely do that. But, you know, we haven't really gotten into the bullpen, but you need at least probably two arms.
I was going to say three.
Well, you got Slayton, most likely Whitlock, and Liam Hendricks.
Yeah, and I think, well, obviously, just signed Justin Wilson, too. So I think Wilson will probably be in the pen.
He's more of a scrap heap guy, though, isn't he?
No, I agree, but they gave him $3 million, so I assume he's going to be in the pen. I don't think they would give him $3 million not to have him pitch.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't know. We probably have one or two other arms that we're not talking about that they've probably got tapped to pitch, but
the guys they brought up last year, too, you know what I mean? For that little stretch run, so they've probably, you know, seen what they had with that too. I think a couple guys will win jobs in spring training, but
we need hopefully Andrew Bailey has a different mindset this year, because it seemed like he came in last year and he just wanted this one size fits all program. Some guys thrived on it at first. Houck and Crawford specifically. Pavetta got hurt. Giolito blew out his elbow.
I know. Yeah. Process too.
That Murphy kid had to have Tommy John.
Chris Murphy.
Whitlock had Tommy John. So, you know, they need a
you
more.
You can't keep spinning it. You put too much stress on the elbow.
I think he'd be under my program. Garrett Whitlock would need Tommy John. So it's.
Yeah, and he had that bracing procedure too. So,
they need to have him in the bullpen. That's what they need to do. Stop messing around with him and find a spot for him on this team, and the fit is the bullpen. That's what they need to do.
I think they know that. Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do with Fitz and Priester, though. I mean, maybe they get relegated to the bullpen.
I don't like Priester.
I don't like him either. We talked about guys we should have called up. I would have gave Nick York a shot last year. I mean, he put up pretty good numbers. Yeah. Why not? I mean, you could have just DFA'd Dahlbeck and then traded York, you know.
They didn't bring up anybody last year. That you know, when you're out of it, that's what you normally do when you're out of the playoffs and you're out of contention, is you bring up some kids and you see what you have so you can plan what your offseason's going to be like. And they didn't do any of that. It's so annoying that they just you bring back up Vaughn Grisham and everybody else, and it's like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, I mean, you brought up Mookie Betts in the summer of 2014, and that worked. And Swihart, I think, or maybe he came up in 2015, but
who did
still.
You guys want up though? I mean, who did you guys really?
Can't
who did you guys
Campbell want? For one.
Yeah.
I was gonna say because like Mayer obviously was
probably
hurt,
Campbell and Teal.
They don't want to rush Teal up right now because of his defense. They want to keep working with that. That's why they didn't bring him up. Roman Anthony, I mean, you could have brought Anthony up, but I don't think the outfield was our problem. So it's like, where are you going to play him, you know?
I don't think the clock is the issue anymore.
I don't either.
I think they're going to extend him or they're not, and it's just going to come down to that. But, yeah. And then going forward to this year, I mean, Campbell, like we said, I think has the best chance to make the team.
Second base job.
Yeah, yeah. And
well, guys, I'm going to call it a night. Thanks, Terry, for having me on, and hope yeah. everybody has a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
good one.
That was good. We had some fireworks tonight. I just sat back for a lot of it.
The thing with me is, like, I'll get fired up when people want to say Alex Cora. They act like Alex Cora is the problem. I get a little fired up about that because you can't name me five better managers in baseball than Alex Cora. I feel like Red Sox fans take it for granted. Like,
yeah, I was kind of at the point where I just wouldn't mind a newer voice, but you can't. The front office is so bad. I mean, Cora helps offset what the front office doesn't give him, and you know, so yeah, even I changed my tune last year and said, yeah, you pretty much have to bring him back.
I think winning 81 games with that roster last year is damn impressive, like, to be honest with you. Like, I really do. Like, I didn't
yeah.
think close to getting 500.
Well, April and May kind of saved us a little bit, because we had the best overall pitching staff for a while. It was number one, and then
we were in a wild card spot right before the All-Star break hit.
True. Yeah, we were in striking distance.
I think we were two games ahead of the Royals at the end of the All-Star break, or right when the All-Star break started.
If you could have got Kikuchi and one other guy, and it wouldn't have cost much, I mean, who knows? I mean, you could have had that Detroit Tigers type run.
I mean, it kind of sucks when you have the Tigers literally sell at the deadline and end up getting that, you know, last spot. But I'll say this. I did make the point about the AL Central earlier this year in the night. You know, when you play the White Sox 18 times or whatever is 15 times, you're at an advantage. You just are, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we've been pretty stacked the last couple of years in the East. And nobody's talking about Tampa right now, but they're getting a lot of pitching back from Tommy John.
They also don't have a home.
True. Yeah. Well, it's Steinbrenner Field, I guess.
Yeah, I know. I'm joking. But, like, you're going to be playing at Steinbrenner Field with, what, 12? I mean, well, as they're used to about 12,000 people that show up. So it'll be packed to them because it's so condensed. So it'll actually feel like it's 80,000 for that team. But I don't know.
That's going to suck for us, though, if we have to play there in July.
I feel like the Rays offense, though, is just going to hold them back. Their offense isn't very good.
No, not typically. They got rid of a Rosarena, and he had an off year anyway. But I mean, he's typically been a spark behind them. You know, another interesting thing is the Vegas stadium isn't a done deal yet for the A's.
No, not yet.
And I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's gonna happen. I was just out there last week, and it's kind of like. It's weird because there's not a lot of, like, you have the big casino towers, but then it's nothing really, you know, in the skyline. And then you had Allegiant Stadium just kind of sitting all by itself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, where do they get the people to fill these things?
I don't even think the people there at the in Vegas really even want the Athletics.
Yeah. So. It's a transplant city. Yeah. You know, I mean, I live in Myrtle Beach. Nobody in Myrtle is from Myrtle. It's a transplant city.
That's the thing too with Tampa. Like, it's a, you know, that's a transplant city too. There's just, I mean, there's, we kind of say, oh, nobody goes to the Rays games. Well, I mean, it's because they're all probably from New York City. They like the Yankees. They like the Reds. You know what I mean? So they're not going to go waste a Friday night when you, you know, live in Tampa to go watch, you know, Tampa play against, I don't know, the Royals.
Right. Yeah,
you know, it's not really an area that you probably prefer to have a baseball team. I think they need to move. and relocate. That's what I think the Rays should do.
I want Salt Lake City to get a team. I think that would be a great spot. A lot of people don't know this, but The Sandlot was mostly filmed in Utah around Salt Lake City. And I don't know. I just feel like that could be a sneaky good fan base. Nashville kind of cuts into the Braves territory, but I think that would be a good one.
Yeah.
I think Montreal is an obvious fit for a team. And I would just rename them the Expos, you know, and just...
I would love to see the Expos back, so I would be all for that.
Yeah.
I think Salt Lake City, it is a very underrated sports town. I mean, they love the hockey team there now. The Jazz are, obviously, they love the Jazz. That's an underrated sports town. So Salt Lake City would be a spot that would make sense.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the map of the United States and you see where all the sports teams are, those plain states and a lot of the states that the Rockies run through, there's just nothing, you know?
And yeah.
I would do it. Portland gets mentioned, but I don't like that. I mean, you got enough teams out there, I feel like. And,
yeah, you know, it's not like we need a natural rivalry with the Mariners. I mean, that's what everyone says, a natural rivalry. It's okay, well, one team, you know? It's like one city.
Yeah.
So, I don't really, you know... That's the thing. And the other thing, too, you know, expansion's coming. So I would say expansion is within the next, I would say, 6 years. I think you're going to see a couple more teams join, too. So,
yeah, they talk about Mexico City as one, but I
don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't go international like that. Mexico is just so unstable right now.
I think Nashville is going to get a team, like if just a hunch. But I think that's going to be. One of the first ones to get a team is going to be Nashville. Salt Lake City, I mean, maybe you could make an argument. I mean, they have everything but, what, an NFL team. So, yeah, I mean, you could make the argument.
Yeah.
Vegas does love their hockey team, though. I'll say that about Vegas. I don't know about the Raiders. It doesn't seem like it's really that big of a deal for them, but they love their hockey team. So,
yeah, I got a friend that has season tickets there.
Yeah, they love the Knights. Nice.
But, yeah. All right, well, Doug, I guess we'll just wrap it on this, but I appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, of course.
It was fun to have some fireworks there.
Like I said, when it comes to Alex Cora, that's like there's certain things. Like I said, I am a natural born pessimist, but I'm trying to be better. But if Alex Cora, like I'll argue with anybody, if you bring Alex Cora's name up and talk bad about him, it's just like to me, it's like who would you rather have? Like, I'm not talking about people like bench coach. I'm just talking about like. If Alex Cora wasn't our manager this year, right, they moved on. They mutually agreed to separate. Who would be your first choice? Like, who would we want? Like,
honestly, I would probably go with a player that recently retired. Who was the one that the Mets hired? Beltran, I think, would be a good one.
Carlos Beltran?
Yeah, I just think he's got the presence. He could do it. Yeah, I would go with a newer player that had tons of clout that was, you know, known as a clubhouse leader. We mentioned Madden and Girardi. I love both those guys. And Madden,
they're past their time now.
Yeah, Madden's a fascinating interview and on podcasts and stuff if you haven't had a chance. But he can't, you know, manage the personalities anymore.
That would be Bobby Valentine 2.0.
Close enough, yeah.
Like, that's what that would be with Joe Madden. And that's, like, the thing. Like, people say Jason Veritek. Well, I love Tech, but it's one of those things where what if – I don't want to think about it. What if Tech took the job and he failed? Then it's going to be, like, one of those things. It's just, like, that kind of – it doesn't tarnish his time in Boston, but it's just, like, I don't want to dislike Veritek. You know what I mean?
I think Tech would be, like, Brad Ausmus 2.0. Like,
I just don't want to dislike him because if he does a bad job and fails, I don't want to, like, I hate him. You know what I mean? I don't want to hate him.
Yeah, and a lot of executives don't like the hometown guys because from the moment they hire him, the manager becomes more popular than the executive, and that's not what they want. You go back to the Dombrowski era. I mean, we all wanted John Farrell fired after probably 2016, and then Dombrowski kept him another year because Farrell was the guy taking the bullets, and that was good for Dombrowski.
Right.
So it's just there's these weird dynamics, and I don't know that Breslow really wanted Cora. I think he wanted his own guy from the start, but But
I think that's the same thing with Bloom when Cora got the job. I do think it was a little bit of a nod and be like, hey, nod and poke, be like, hey, we have our guy. You know what I mean? Like,
there was an interview where I think it was Bloom, and he talked about how he went to Florida to meet with Cora, or maybe it was Puerto Rico actually, to meet with Cora, and they had a very heated discussion about the scandal in Houston. And it was almost like Bloom was trying to sabotage the whole deal to bring Cora back.
Sabotage his Red Sox career too, so that wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, but I think halfway through last year, I think Breslow recognized that Cora's out there essentially bailing him out and keeping the team in the race. And I think it just became much more clear that, you know, it would be a massive risk for Breslow to go with someone else at that point.
I just don't know, especially too. My other thinking is too. So because Cora works so well with the young players, they have nothing but young players coming up. So it's just like, do you really want to, you know, try to find that next guy that you maybe might work well with the young guys? We know one does. You want to risk, and I don't know. I just think Cora is like the perfect guy for that team.
I'm surprised he hasn't really been more active on the Soto front, you know, being, you know, Spanish speaking and
well, he
all
did
that.
Say that I can't say I was or wasn't there. We all know he was.
Okay. Well, that's good. And another thing too, I mentioned it on the podcast last night. I meant to mention it earlier. One of the ulteriors here for getting Soto, not only does it rehab the image, but what does Henry have his sights set on right now outside of his baseball team?
Golf course. Golf, PGA Tour.
Well, but closer to home, the Celtics.
They're not buying the Celtics.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they haven't been sold yet.
All right. If I'm going to say this, if they buy the Celtics, I will be infuriated.
I know.
I don't need him to ruin the Celtics. I'm a big Liverpool soccer fan. They're pissing me off with that. They haven't gotten their top player signed there. If they buy the Celtics, I just give up. Because
it's the dream scenario, though, until they get sold.
Well, my thinking is that, though, with them, I think they want – I think that's going to be Vegas. I think LeBron being involved in the FSG thing, I think that's got Vegas written all over it. I don't think
LeBron, it could.
LeBron hates the Celtics too. So.
Why the fuck is he even here? I don't.
LeBron?
Yeah.
I think that's why. I think he bought an FSG to own that Vegas team.
Well, maybe.
That's my theory.
Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, Soto goes a long way to rehabbing. It's a big first step. But
if Soto signs with Red Sox, you realize probably 100% of the fan base will be like, we're sorry. We'll never be again.